So something I didn't know is that the Kennedy administration insisted on this being a midweek march. Because I was always curious, why would they hold this on a Wednesday? But it was because of pressure from the White House.
Yes, the White House wanted to prevent people from hanging around D.C. over the weekend. They didn't want the potential for any sort of trouble at all to be associated with the march. So do it on a Wednesday. People have to go back home and go to work the next day. Hence the crush of trains and buses that are going to round trip back out of town once this is over. You know, one of the things that King's speech does is hold those people to the end so before they rush out of there. And when the march ends, everyone just leaves. And Bayard Rustin and his committee come through and clean up afterwards, and we're done. And that's exactly what the Kennedy administration was looking for. Peaceful, not memorable for any sort of violence or upheaval, and people are going back to work.
And, I forgot what I was going to ask you now. Was the mall, quiet by evening, or?
Yes, after the final benediction, people dispersed. They had buses to catch, trains to catch, and there was actually part of the plan. Part of the planning for the march was that the organizers had hired people to come through, clean up all the garbage in the mall, and by nightfall, everything was set. You were back to a pristine, empty space.
I always get the feeling from watching footage of it or reading about it, hearing about it, that King's speech was the culmination of the day, but there was actually one more speaker after him? Who was that?
Well, there was a benediction by, I can't remember if it's the Episcopalian or pastor at the end, so he just quickly did, and people had to go.
Okay.
But so King got the last full speaking role on the day, but it's technically the second last speaker on the program.
All right, and this ended up helping Kennedy's legacy, even though he was not pushing for as strong of a civil rights act as what eventually got passed.
Indeed, Kennedy actually does succeed in keeping an even stronger bill from getting out of the House Judiciary Committee. He gets some help from Republican votes in the House to keep this from being as difficult to get through the Senate as he anticipates. However, it's still stronger than what he actually wanted. His original bill didn't include one of the key provisions of the Ultimate Civil Rights Act, the provision allowing the Attorney General to prosecute civil rights cases.
This 50th anniversary observance is shining new light on some details that perhaps got shoved aside or just forgotten?
I think because of the economic situation in the United States, because of the problems that President Obama is having with the Republican-controlled House, there is a greater emphasis on economic issues than you would have seen perhaps otherwise. That the 25th anniversary was a lot more about the civil rights component, and here you're getting a little bit more from the White House about economic issues and jobs, and the sort of part that is forgotten by most Americans, that most Americans see the march as this strictly civil rights event when it does have that economic component, and that there is an economic component to civil rights.
The 25th anniversary would have been 88. I don't remember it being as big of a deal as it is this year.
No, it was not, and it doesn't help the 25th anniversary that it comes in the middle of an election campaign. So there's really not much benefit for the party in power, the Reagan administration, to have an event that is seen as a Democratic event, that the Kennedy administration and the Democrats seem to benefit from it the most. Here, since we're in an administration that's no longer has to run for election, and of course the first African-American president, and, of course, the 50th anniversary, which is always seen as a bigger event. It's not surprising that this year we're going all out in D.C.
Is there one particular thing about this rally that you think people should know that perhaps has been overlooked?
Well, I think one of the things to remember is that most Americans opposed it at the time. That, according to Gallup polls, 63% of Americans opposed the March on Washington in August of 63. That this idea of it as the seminal American event comes after it's peaceful, after Kennedy's assassination, and after the civil rights legislation is passed. then it becomes part of a successful upward curve for civil rights. At the time, it was seen as potentially divisive and damaging.
Right after it happened, were any Gallup polls taken to see if Americans' opinions changed?
No, not an immediate poll. What is striking, though, is that the attitude towards Martin Luther King does change. That, remember, King is most associated in 1963 for most of the year with Birmingham, with the violent response by the Birmingham police, with people within the civil rights movement questioning whether or not his tactics were sound, whether they were not just causing more problems than they were solving. And that King's televised speech does enhance this image of King. What Gallup does demonstrate afterwards is that King is seen as the leader of the civil rights movement after the speech.
So it took perhaps a few months or even years for history to sort of write the version of the march that we're all familiar with?
Yes, I think it really begins with Kennedy's assassination. I think the first part of how we look at the march happens immediately as King's speech is seen as the most inspirational speech of the day. But I think the image of it as being primarily civil rights and contributing to what follows comes over the next few years.
And much of that is actually done by LBJ.
Yes, Johnson uses Kennedy's assassination as one of the things to pressure Congress to pass civil rights legislation, and in so doing, costs himself credit for what he accomplishes and enhances Kennedy's legacy, perhaps undeservedly.
Anything else you think people should know about this?
That it's part of a process that, 50 years on, some of these issues, not obviously the legislation itself, but some of the issues, especially the economic issues, are still relevant. And that understanding that the United States is never going to come to a point where everything's perfect, that we are going to be looking back on the speech and this march for quite some time.
Thanks.
Thank you.